Hello and welcome to episode 74 of the greatest sports podcast known to mankind, Brody Sports Talk. That's true. I am Caleb Walgren, and I'm ecstatic today. Got a big win this past Sunday with the Packers over the Titans. And I'm joined by my, I'm just going to call him less than ecstatic, co-host, Sean Morgan.
I've mentioned this before on the podcast. It seems as if when one of my sports teams does well, it's usually because another one didn't quite do so well. Arsenal's on back-to-back wins. Eagles are out of the playoffs. It's a little bit of give and take.
Let's go Gunners. And
great 1-0 win over Brighton today. First half was ugly, but second half was great.
That lock is that guy. Maybe you guys should play him a little bit more.
I mean, I don't know, man. That was all. It was a great finish, right? It's a great finish, right near off the near post. But Bukayo Saka is just something special. And the fact that we're able to get in, like Emile Smith-Rowe, he's had two starts now in the Premier League and fantastic performances. Martinelli, him being back has been great. Dude, it has been. The youngsters are getting it done.
Absolutely. Well, let's go through the rundown of what we're talking about today. First, we're going to actually hit you with the power rankings. We're starting off heavy today.
I know.
And it may seem odd because then we're going to go into our games of the week. We've got two, because it's very critical for the division for us to have two. Probably gave it away right there, but that's okay. Then Sean and I are going to do our NFL picks against the spread. Probably going to get 12 correct picks from the two of us combined this week.
Definitely. Especially after this last week, man. We were on fire. I got 2 out of 6. You got 1 out of 6. Man, we were just...
And because we're right at the end of the year, we're going to do a quick... You know, top 5 moments of 2020, maybe not the best moments, but some of the moments we'll remember the most. And then we're making 5 predictions for the new year. Absolutely. So let's jump in without further ado to the greatest NFL power rankings that have ever been created on planet Earth.
I know I'm only going to be able to get to do this for another couple of times, man. You know how sad that makes me? This opening spiel, I've got it down. And it's always, I always try to mix it up just a little bit, keep it slightly fresh. But I don't know, it's kind of a bittersweet occasion. But this is what it is. The Brody Sports Talk NFL Power Rankings. So, NFL Power Rankings, if you're unfamiliar with how this works, we take all 32 NFL teams, ranking them 1 through 32 based on how good we think they are relative to their peers. This is going across recent games all the way through the beginning of the season, this juncture in the season anyway. So we rank them 1 through 32 across division, across conference, throw them all in a nice big bucket. We combine it with our partners over at Clutch Crew Sport. And they're on Twitter at Clutch Crew Sport, but they are Clutch Crew Sports. That's kind of a tongue twister. And we also partner with our good friend and current out of the podcast co-host, Travis, to get all of our official rankings. Now, we split them up into 4 tiers. So we do it a little bit differently. It's not just 1 through 32. We group them into 4 tiers. At the top, we have the playoff tier. These are the teams that, as it stands now, are either locks for the playoffs already or are approaching it for week 17. We have the aspiring tier, teams 9 through 16. These are teams that have playoff aspirations. Some of them have secured a berth, or at least on the verge of it. And then actually one in our aspiring tier this week does not have any playoff hopes. Tier number 3, 17 through 24, is the wavering tier. These are teams that, they're going to be outside of the playoffs unless you're in the NFC East. They unfortunately did not succeed this season for a couple reasons. And then finally, we have the basement tier. These are teams that are officially out of the running for the playoffs, point blank. They suck. They bad. So without further ado, let's get to the rankings. Coming in the playoff tier, at number 1, Kansas City Chiefs, 2, Buffalo Bills, 3, Green Bay Packers, 4, New Orleans Saints, 5, Seattle Seahawks, 6, Baltimore Ravens, 7, Pittsburgh Steelers, and 8, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All teams that you know. Well, I mean, I guess technically for the Ravens, you know, they could slip out of here, you know. But I think the real talk is who is going to ultimately get that bye. Is it the Packers? Is it the Saints? You could argue that the Packers probably have the rougher path. So Caleb, what are your thoughts here? Who do you think? I mean, obviously, you're a little bit biased, just a smidge biased.
I am a little.
Do you think the Packers end up getting it?
Right now, I think that they do. And before anyone accuses me of being too much of a homer, I feel like we really took it. We're playing a team that I feel like has a similar mindset as the one we just beat. The Bears have been doing really good at running the ball with David Montgomery, have a really good offensive weapon on the outside in Allen Robinson, who would be the better version of the A.J. Brown that we saw in Tennessee this past week, and a quarterback that, I mean, I don't even think we can put Trubisky on Tannehill's level at this point.
Trubisky's been fantastic the last couple of weeks.
I mean, that's what happens when you play teams like the Vikings, Jaguars, and the Texans. I don't know if that's exactly their last three, but man, when you play teams that don't play defense, it sure makes your offense look a whole lot better. I mean, they put up 33 on the Vikings, and I was like, man, Tannehill looks all right. And then the Saints went out and put 52 on the Vikings, and I went, holy cow, the Vikings defense is trash. I think that the Packers are going to be efficient enough on both sides of the ball. Jair Alexander, he was, you know, my X factor last week. Packers defensed 10 passes from Ryan Tannehill this last week and had multiple interceptions of him. I think Trubisky is going to have a long, rough day in Soldier Field, and the Bears are going to be hoping for some help to make the playoffs. But the Packers will end up getting the number one seed because of virtue of the win.
I mean, you need a few things, or the Saints essentially need a few things to have happen for them to get it right. The Bears have to win, and the Seahawks need to take care of business against the 49ers, because I guess it affects like your, I don't know if it's like a strength of schedule thing or what the ultimate tiebreaker is. But from my understanding, if, you know, all three teams end up finishing 12-4, then you guys would actually, Green Bay would drop down to the number three seed.
Correct. So it goes to conference record, and that's where the Packers have the weakness right now, because I believe most of their losses are in the NFC this year, whereas the Saints and – so we have head-to-head against the Saints. So if the 49ers win, we automatically get the number one seed anyway. So it's one of those things. We win, we get the number one seed. The 49ers beat the Seahawks, we get the number one seed. It's only in that, like, mysterious – mystical tie situation that we don't get the number one seed.
Hey, I mean, you never know when ties are going to come up, right? I guess, honestly, unless it's like an Eagles-Bengals game, then, you know, there's no chance. Let's move on down to the aspiring tier. Again, these are teams that some of them, you know, are probably going to be making the playoffs. Some of them, not so much. So coming at number 9, the Cleveland Browns, 10, Miami Dolphins, 11, Tennessee Titans, 12, Indianapolis Colts, 13, Chicago Bears, 14, Los Angeles Rams, 15, Arizona Cardinals, and the lone team that actually does not have any playoff aspirations in this group, coming in at number 16, the Los Angeles Chargers. So quite a muddy, I think, AFC playoff picture. If I do say so, I mean, especially compared to what's going on in the NFC, like the NFC East, where you're gonna have a 6-win team make the playoffs, and, you know, potentially you could see a 9-win or an 8-win team coming in here, you know, in the 7th spot. AFC, like, you, if, you know, all these wildcard hunt teams went out, you're gonna have an 11-win team not make the playoffs in an expanded playoff picture.
It's crazy. It's definitely crazy right now to think of what's going on in the AFC wild card. And let's face it, it helps when you have teams like the Jets and the Jaguars in order to get some extra wins in your conference.
Yeah. I mean, at least you thought that the Jets might have been an easy win. It turns out Adam Gase can't even think correctly. it's, I mean, so ultimately, right? Ultimately, we are going to have a team left out. And it's tough to look at who that ends up being, right? So you look at the teams that are technically in the hunt. You've got Baltimore, you've got Indianapolis, you've got Tennessee, you've got Cleveland, you've got Miami. If anything, Miami's got the toughest remaining game by far. You look at the Colts playing the worst team in the NFL right now. They've already secured their number one draft pick, right? I mean, they don't know if you're going to see, are you going to see Glennon, you know, continue to drive the tank? Is Minshew coming? Who knows? They don't know, right? Steelers are starting Mason Rudolph. Browns have a pretty good chance. Pretty good chance. Baltimore's been on fire, right? Texans have been bad, so Tennessee could very well win the division here. I think that leaves Miami as the odd one out. What do you think?
I think it definitely all hinges on the Dolphins Bills result. Dolphins win, they're going to be in. The Dolphins lose, I expect the Colts to take the spot and the Dolphins to be out. The Colts have done stranger things this year. The Jags could do the double over the Colts and make them miss the playoffs. I think that would be a great way to start football in 2021. If I had to guess right now, it's Dolphins or Colts are out. I think we're going to see Titans, Ravens, Browns all for sure in.
So here's a spicy scenario, right? So let's assume that the Dolphins win, right? So that they're in. Colts win, right? And then even if the Steelers beat the Browns, right? The Ravens beat the Bengals, and then Tennessee loses to the Texans. Tennessee's out. Tennessee's out. To me, that seems like a scenario that could potentially happen. You don't know what Browns team you're going to see, man. You never know. Is this a team that you know, you're going to have a Baker Mayfield's throwing four touchdowns and, you know, Chubb's out there, you know, like running rampant? Or is this a Browns team that's going to struggle to beat anyone? Right? It's a feast or famine thing. And I mean, the Texans have been defensively porous, but you can never count out Deshaun Watson. And that game went to overtime the first time around. I don't know. Well, I still think the Dolphins don't make it. I still think but this has been a crazy year. So if I'm going to pick a crazy scenario for the AFC wild card, it's Tennessee out.
I will say, Browns, don't get all of your people maskless in the pool or in the tub while you're healing after practice.
Yeah, get some wide receivers out there. All right, let's go to the wavering tier. Again, these are teams that I have fallen off, or like I said, unless you're in the NFC East, there's no playoff hope for you. 17, Las Vegas Raiders, 18, San Francisco 49ers, 19, Washington football team, 20, Minnesota Vikings, 21, Dallas Cowboys, 22, Carolina Panthers, 23, New York Giants, and 24, New England Patriots. Boy, did the Raiders fall off.
They did. The Raiders ended up falling really hard. And I know that there was a lot of Fitzmagic in the air this past weekend when he came in and was able to help get the Dolphins to have that come from behind win.
Can you, so I want to get your opinion on this, right? Over the course of his career, John Gruden has had some excellent moments. And he's had some moments where you question, maybe there's too many spiders in his 2Y banana. Okay. 10 years the Raiders have signed for him to be their head coach. 10 years. If you were a Raiders fan, based on the product that you're seeing on the field this year, the ups and the downs, defensively, offensively, tactically. Are you upset? Are you, do you feel like this was a mistake, or are you still on the Gruden in train?
I think that you still jump and stay on the train for now. And part of that is they got Gruden. They started a rebuild process while they were still in Oakland, and now they're in Vegas. They look good, and they beat the Chiefs in Kansas City earlier this year. I mean, it's the only L the Chiefs have on their schedule. You can't be entirely disappointed when you beat the defending Super Bowl champs and you're the only team to have done so through 16 weeks. The tough part for me is I feel like they've had all of these random things happen, like the offensive linemen are showing up at a party without masks and can't play 1 week, and so they drop that game, and like you're firing your defensive coordinator 1 week before the biggest game of your season when you have to beat the Dolphins, and then somehow your interim gives up a 30 yard or so sideline pass with 19 seconds left. It's just, it's curious. And I feel like if they would have had a whole off season, I might've been able to buy into this Raiders team a little bit more, but they have let, they've just been weird. Kind of like, you know, the fans at the Black Hole used to be, you know, it's a little bit of the unexpected with a little bit of what you'd expect. And it's definitely been more bad than good.
I agree. If I'm a Raiders fan, I'm a little bit upset at the 10-year deal. I think that may have been a little bit too ambitious. And I know there's a lot of goodwill that Gruden's earned with that organization. But, you know, I think the realistic expectations heading into 2021 is that you need to have a winning season. You need to have a playoff season, or, you know, we may see an early boot. I mean, clearly you look at a coach like Flores, who came in and basically, you know, had a rough start, but did everything right. And then that year following, you see where the Dolphins are now. You'd expect a coach as experienced as Gruden to be able to pull off something similar, and we'll see. Let's talk about the basement tier, right? Let's talk about the teams that suck. Right? And let's start off with the team that's been the most disappointing for me this season. Coming at number 25, the Philadelphia Eagles, 26 Atlanta Falcons, 27 Denver Broncos, 28 Cincinnati Bengals, 29 Detroit Lions, 30 Houston Texans, 31 New York Jets. And congratulations, Trevor Lawrence, you are going to number 32, Jacksonville Jaguars. So these are teams that have disappointed us this year for one reason or 100. Coming in at number 30, the Houston Texans. When we started the season, right, our preseason predictions, we all kind of had the Texans coming in the teens, right? They had made some boneheaded offseason moves. People weren't really sold on O'Brien as a GM, and to a certain extent, didn't have a whole lot of faith in him as a head coach. Personnel-wise, they had a lot of holes that they really didn't fill during free agency and during the draft. And they have massively, massively disappointed this season, except for a couple of instances where they won some games. All right. Now they're in this circumstance where other teams gonna have better draft picks because Texans draft picks, they're all gone, man. Can't even tank correctly. What are your thoughts about the Texans as a job in 2021 for a head coach, and where do you think this season went wrong?
I feel like the season went wrong before it even got started in some aspects. I feel like this team has an offensive star and a defensive star that you can easily point at and everyone knows nationally, and Deshaun Watson and JJ Watt. You know, Watt didn't get hurt this year. It's not his fault. But boy, oh boy, are they just horribly built from start to finish. This is, not a job that's high on the priority list, in my opinion, if you're looking to potentially come in as a head coach or a GM. Mainly because, like we said, the number three pick in next year's draft that the Texans should have is in Miami.
Yeah, they're happy.
I mean, that's why Miami had to go get Tua out in week six and go, ah, the Texans can't win any games. Well, we got to see if Tua's any good. Because you'd hate to be drafting third and have it go like Lawrence Fields and have you not pick up, you know, Trey Lance or Zach Wilson if you needed him, if Tua ended up being a bust. So, now granted, Tua has looked good or relatively good. But the Texans, oh man, Bill O'Brien did a number on them. And it's going to be years. I don't know if it, like, talk about someone who needs a 10-year deal. you might need several years to bounce back from this.
I mean, if they need somebody to come in and ensure that they can tank as hard as that they need to for draft positioning, then, I mean, Adam Gase has officially been given the notice that he's out of a job at the end of the season. So, you know, hey.
Go get him.
Here's a guy, right?
You probably won't get the top pick, though.
Now, if anything, I think Adam Gase actually ends up going to New England. No, you laugh. I think he's legitimately going to end up in New England. So this, I'm officially going on record. I think that Belichick takes him as a potential offensive coordinator in waiting if McDaniels ends up taking one of these jobs.
Who knows? It's definitely too early to know for sure. Let's move over to our games of the week, Sean.
They are in the best division.
We have two because we just need a double serving of it this week because it is the NFC East. It's the most intriguing playoff spot left and the cleanest one to put in a few games. If we could have the AFC wild card where it was like, we're going to give it to whoever wins this, we might do it. But we can at least say, hey, we'll put our colors as whichever team wins the NFC East. And it's guaranteed that Sean will not like it next week. So for better or worse for Sean, we're going to see one of three teams' colors, either the Cowboys, the Giants, or the football team there next Sunday night at the end of the day.
You're doing this to me.
Yeah, I know. So first, Cowboys, Giants. I want to know who your X factor is for that game.
So for me, I think the X factors, right? Are you ready for this one? My X factors are Kellen Moore and Jason Garrett. I think this is going to be a very, it's going to be very intriguing because, I mean, there's a lot on the line here. And the Giants offense has been lethargic at best and atrocious at worst since they started getting a little bit of hype. And what we saw Kellen Moore and the Cowboys offense, specifically their wide receiver core, what they were able to do to punish an Eagles secondary that really wasn't equipped to deal with some of the speed. I mean, Gallup had a huge game and, you know, CeeDee Lamb had some fantastic catches. I'm interested to see what Jason Garrett is able to do, knowing that defense, you know, and that personnel as well as he does. So I think the game planning offensively for both teams is going to be huge because, I mean, the Giants, you can't really sleep on them defensively. So I think it's going to be close.
For the Cowboys, I'm going to say that my X factor is DeMarcus Lawrence. I think that if he is in that backfield and he is disrupting Daniel Jones or Colt McCoy or whoever they decide to start at quarterback, it's going to be a long, long, long day for the Giants offense. The Giants offense is back in the bottom two of offenses in the NFL in terms of points scored this year, ahead of the Jets.
Yeah. 26 points in three games.
Not really I'm going to cut it. And that's really with 13 last week.
Yeah.
Because so. The Ravens were blowing them out. so I think DeMarcus Lawrence could have a big impact. Him and Randy Gregory. Gregory has come off of suspension and looked really good on that Cowboys defense lately. As far as the Giants are concerned, I just want to see them run the ball. Both of my factors are on that side because I think the Cowboys are going to put up points. They've shown the last several weeks. They beat the Bengals, who've looked better since then. The Bengals have won two in a row after losing to Dallas. One of those against the Steelers. And the Cowboys are, I mean, they've got the skill guys, and Dalton is looking alive.
People forget that Dalton's actually a decent quarterback.
Absolutely. So I want to see the Giants run game with like Wayne Gallman. Just do something. Show me that you can take control of the game, take the game where it is not a quarterback first game. Can we have like an 8-pass game, kind of like Jimmy G did in the NFC Championship game? I want the Giants to try to take over with their offensive line and with their run game. I don't think it will happen. Personally, I am going to take the Cowboys to win that game. I'm going to pick them to win. I'm going to say like 31-21. No, that's too many points for the Giants. 31-17. So, because the Cowboys do give up more points. So the Giants got to get that average up for those last few weeks. But the Cowboys are going to score enough that it's not going to be close.
20-17 Giants.
Ooh.
And the Giants win the division.
Oh, well, spoiler alert, because we got to go to our second game. Who is your X factor for, or X factors for that contest? Football team at Eagles, just to be clear, in case you are completely lost in the shuffle of what we're talking about.
So I want to talk about the Eagles offense for a second. It's easy to say, you know what, Hurts is going to be, you know, the X factor, but I really think that it's going to depend on our wide receivers to really step up and give Hurts some separation, get some separation and give Hurts some better opportunities to throw the football. Especially in the second half of the Cowboys game, there were times where Hurts wasn't able to get to the guy. Right? There wasn't enough separation. So I want to see so my X factor is for the Eagles in ways the entire wide receiving core. On the opposite side, I want to talk about Chase Young and the impact that Young has had this season for that Washington defense. This is a football team. this is the football team and a football team that nobody really had a lot of expectations for this season. Rivera's done a fantastic job. Alex Smith's return has been, you know, no less than comeback of the year player. Like winning. It's a fantastic story. But I don't want to say lost in the shuffle, but maybe a couple of pages down is the impact that Chase Young has had on this defense. He is a strong personality. He is a leader. He has been massively disruptive on that line, and he has wreaked havoc on the division and on the NFL. And it definitely looks like he's going to for years to come. The Eagles offensive line has played better in recent weeks, but is still not nearly as solid of a unit as they were expected to be, you know, this year. And Young is likely going to feast on Hurts and take advantage of that. That said, right? Washington's quarterback situation is a nightmare. Who's going to play? Right? Who knows? What do you think?
So I'm going to say for Washington, instead of taking the easy answer and saying insert Washington quarterback, I'm going to take Antonio Gibson. He was out for a few games. He's back at running back. It's him and J.D. McKissick. Fletcher Cox left the game against Dallas. And people don't understand how good Fletcher Cox is and how important he is on that Eagles defense.
It sucked.
Like, Fletcher Cox, I don't know if he's the second best defensive tackle in football behind Aaron Donald, but he's up there. Like, we need to put some respect on that name. With him out, I think that Washington's really going to try to run the ball. Let's not make this a quarterback issue. Let's just run Gibson, run McKissick, you know, maybe do some short passing yards, not try to do anything too crazy with our quarterback that we just got to keep up and mobile. So we're not starting someone who was supposed to be taking finals this week. So I think Gibson and McKissick are a big factor there. As far as the Eagles, I don't know that I can agree with you more. It doesn't matter which receiver you're talking about. If you're talking about Ward or Folgum or, you know, maybe someone who we haven't seen a lot of the year, like Jeffrey or Jackson, like you just need to see more than one catch for 81 yards from someone like Jackson. That was a great play.
It felt great to watch. And then he just disappeared for the rest of the game.
It felt like a throwback. It didn't feel like it was something that happened this season.
You'd think it was, you know, if you look back, was that Michael Vick who threw that? No, it wasn't.
So I'll let you give a score prediction first on this one, because I totally stole the thunder on the last one.
No, it's fine. I just want to point out some stats that are going to be completely counter to what I'm going to say. This year, the Eagles have 4 wins. Do you know the quarterbacks that we've beaten? We've beaten Nick Mullins, Ben DiNucci, Taysom Hill, and Daniel Jones. Those are the 4 quarterbacks that we've beaten, right? 3 of them are not starters, and the other one is Daniel Jones. In 15 games this year, so 15 played, 11 of the games we have trailed by 10 or more points. This is a team that has fallen behind and sometimes struggled to claw back in, right? So the fact that we are going up against a, you know, potential backup quarterback means that, hey, this is where we shine, right? This is how we win. I think the Eagles do take this. I think it's a competitive game. I think it's a low-scoring affair. The Eagles have been held under 30 points for, I think, just every single game this year. So don't expect it to be a high-flying affair. Expect something akin to maybe a 23-17, game. And I think the Eagles do win. I think this is a prime opportunity for us to play spoiler and keep the football team out. So that's what I'm pulling for.
I'm going to go with a low scoring game as well. No offense to you, Sean. I am taking the football team to win this. I think Smith is going to be back. They said he was really close to playing this last week, but I also think they went and looked at the schedule and said, we only have to win one. Let's try to win the last one. Let's give him that extra week to recover, and let's go beat the Eagles, who now have nothing to play for.
It's always about pride, man. And there's always that one game in week 17 that has a result that nobody is expecting that impacts like everything.
I'm going to pick some sort of ugly score, like football team 19, Eagles 15. And
that is wonky.
It's just not seeing anyone hit 20 points feels about right in this game. So
that's fair.
We'll see what happens. That's fair. Let's go ahead and jump into our NFL picks. We're going to pick against the spread. I don't want to do a long intro, but for example, if you were like, I heard Sean talking about the Steelers and the Browns earlier. Yeah, the Browns are a 10-point favorite. So it says Browns minus 10. So the Browns to win that need to win by 11 or more, even though Mason Rudolph is on the other side. You do have to remember they're still facing the Steelers defense. and Baker Mayfield has been shaky. So if you like the other side of that line, that would be Steelers plus 10, where the Steelers just need to be within 9 or more points at the end of the game. Maybe some sort of sneaky touchdown, like a Cowboy connection between Rudolph to James Washington with like the expiring seconds to cover. Backdoor cover for the Steelers, maybe. I don't know. You know, just given some possible theories. Sean, you have the first pick. Also, we do eliminate the divisions, so that'll be each of our first four picks. We'll be taking a team from one division. We don't go head-to-head, and then we'll go to two wild cards each.
All right, so first, I'm going to go ahead and go to the NFC South. Give me Bucks minus 6.5. Falcons have looked dire. The Bucks have looked on fire. So give me Bucks minus 6.5.
I am going to take one of the games that I already picked. I'm going to take Cowboys minus 3. I think that they really are going to go in and to take care of business against the Giants. And just too much talent on the outside. Dalton's getting the ball evenly distributed around. They're going to get the job done.
You disgust me, Caleb. And because of that, I'm picking the Bears plus 5.5. I think the Bears have done an admirable job at riding their season. You know, if we go a couple of weeks back when I had to defend why I thought they were going to make the playoffs, I think a lot of what I said ended up coming true. So just throwing that out there, Bears plus 5.5. I think the Packers still win, but I think the Bears end up sliding into the playoffs. Just on the backs of some unfortunate NFC West results.
Speaking of NFC West, I'm going to take the Cardinals in a pick'em game against the Rams. Jared Goff is getting surgery on his thumb. He's going to be out. They haven't gone to the backup for a reason. It's because even though Jared Goff has not impressed anyone, the backup is not better. So...
Oh, you know who they brought in to
ride the pine
additional backup?
Yeah, Blake Bortles.
Bortles is back, man. We're gonna raise our Bortles. What do you think? What do you think the odds are that he ends up throwing the football that game?
I would love. So even though it would totally mess up my pick, I'd love for Bortles to come in Fitzmagic style and like throw for like 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter to get them from like down 30-10 to winning 31-30.
It would be beautiful, and my Bortles would be forever raised. Let's bounce up here to the AFC South. Give me Titans minus 7.5. Texans have looked without a hope and a prayer, and the Titans are fighting for that division. And you know, the Colts are obviously going to be pretty heavy favorites to take care of the Jags at home. So Titans want that division, man.
I'm going to take a pick that just doesn't make sense, but based off of the last couple of weeks, I feel like I should take it. Give me the Jets plus 3. Ooh. The Jets have found a way to win games over the 9-win Rams and the 10-win Browns, and now they're facing the only 6-win Patriots, who they were up on earlier this year, and the Patriots had kind of a miracle comeback. I think that Gase is going to go out in a blaze, and he's going to get 3 in a row to finish his Jets tenure.
Yeah, and he's auditioning for that. I can say he's auditioning for that Patriots job, coordinator job, not the head coaching job.
No, the head coach job. Make Gase the head coach of the Patriots. It's their punishment for all of Belichick's sins.
Yeah, I was to say if I predict that, and that ended up coming true, then I would be as Nostradamus as it gets.
I left you 2 divisions, Sean. You going to AFC North or AFC West?
I don't want any part of the AFC North. So give me Broncos plus 2.5. I know it's probably a little bit risky, but I feel like the Broncos have a bit more pride to play for, and the Raiders have just kind of lost so much momentum that I think they're going to end the season on a very sour note.
I'm going to go ahead and take the Ravens minus 13 since I don't have a whole lot of options other than big covers or big favorites in the AFC North. The Ravens have been good.
Talk a big game about the Bengals, and you don't take them plus 11.5.
So You know, I'm a numbers guy. Numbers guy through and through. The Ravens are the number one team this season in point differential. So I think that they're going to be able to go in there and find a way to.
The Browns helps.
I mean, they only beat them by 5. Oh, well, you're talking about the first week. The first week.
Yeah, I mean, it helps when you get to thump some of the worst teams in the NFL by a lot. And then manage to thump some of the teams that are technically amongst the best.
It also just seems odd, though, when you have this team that like is in this fringe of the will they make the playoffs? We don't know. Yeah, they have the best plus minus.
I mean, sometimes you can't really guarantee your playoff spot if you're just, you know, like it's what's called in soccer world, it's called being a flat track bully. Basically, it means that you're a player who scores big on teams that suck, but when it comes time for you to play the best, then you disappear. So that kind of feels like the Ravens this season, honestly. Let's go with I'm going to back up my game of the week prediction, and I'm going to go ahead and take the Eagles +2 at home.
Nice. I respect that. I'm going to take a line that I don't necessarily respect. I'm going to take the Vikings -6.5. They just gave up 52. I picked the Vikings last week to cover against the Saints. Man, that was one of the trashiest picks I've made all season. The Lions are really, really bad. Vikings -6.5. I feel good. Dalvin Cook is going to run for like 300 yards in this game.
Dang. It's a big, big prediction. I'm going to go ahead and end this off again, backing up something that I've said in the Dolphins missing the playoffs. Go ahead and give me the Bills +2.5. I know they don't have a bye to play for, but I feel like this is a Bills team that's riding on a lot of pride. And the fact that they have won the division and the fact that they've become, I think, the darling of the NFL for a lot of neutral fans. Because they love seeing the Patriots finishing so poorly. And this is a Bills team that has a lot to root for. Have a great story at quarterback. You know, this is a wide receiver getting his, I don't want to say redemption story, but you know, he's able to build a new image. And this is a fan base that is rabid for some good fortune. And I'm happy for them. And I think that they end up getting the job done. They haven't really failed me this season picking them. So
I'm going to go back to the NFC South and I'm going to take the Saints -6.5 against the Panthers. Saints have a chance at getting that number one seed. I don't see everything breaking their way for it to happen, but you're saying there's a chance. I think the Saints are going to go out and win. So
you're saying there's a chance.
Exactly. I think the Saints are going to go out there and pummel the Panthers and easily cover that 6.5-point spread. If Kamara just wear those red and white cleats or red and green cleats one more week, man, just continue celebrating Christmas, into the new year. So our episode is not done, but we are taking a quick break and we'll be right back to recap some of our top moments of 2020 and our predictions for 2021. Welcome back to Brody Sports Talk. And let's do this. The top 5 moments of the year 2020. Sean and I kind of both threw some ideas in together to come up with a complete list. And so we're going to go back. Way back into early 2020, there was no COVID that we.
Oh, there was, but time. Wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't. Those were the good old days.
But I'm going long ago. I picked a very specific moment, and in part because it was when the Chiefs come back in the Super Bowl felt like it was actually going to happen, and it was 2-3 jet chip wasp, the Tyreek Hill play where he has this really elaborate double move way down the field and the Chiefs ended up picking up 44 yards. I had to look back to remember, but the Chiefs were down 10 when that play happened. And it didn't go for a touchdown, but they sure got close. And if there was anything that we all felt about the Chiefs, especially in the playoffs last year, it was don't let them get momentum, because when they do, they're going to put up some points in a hurry. Mm-hmm. It was early in the fourth quarter. All of a sudden they had this deep shot, and it was a, uh-oh, San Francisco isn't ready for this.
No. If you go back and you watch that play too, like the underneath route on the left side was also like, I didn't look to see what player it was. They were also wide. It was like, you know, with the five wide breaking out, you know, the throw to Hill wasn't necessarily it's weird because it ultimately ended up in you know, it's a huge momentum swing. But if you watch that play develop, that wasn't necessarily the best option. It required Hill to really turn it into the best option. And then it required Mahomes to realize what was happening and make that throw. And I think that really encompasses just how talented that offense is, how much they've bought into Andy Reid's scheme, and how Andy has the personnel to go through and execute it at its highest level. Deserved Super Bowl win.
Congrats, Andy. Go get a hamburger from somewhere free, please. Give Andy free hamburgers. That's part of the Brody Sports Talk campaign.
Yeah, campaign.
The second one we have is quite a bit more somber. It is the memorial that they ended up having for Kobe at the Staples Center. I don't remember the exact date on this, but that helicopter crash was tragic. Don't have a whole lot of words to say about it, because even talking about it now, it still kind of stings as one of those that happened a lot sooner. You know, one of the people, sports stars of my generation that we've lost way, way too soon. Sean, what do you want to say about that?
I mean, I still think it's surreal to think about. And I know in the hubbub of 2020, in the sports world, in the political landscape, in, you know, in just about every aspect has been crazy and historically unprecedented. That in a way, this almost feels like it was partially forgotten. If we were to think about it in, you know, in retrospect. But to me, this event, right, not necessarily his passing, but all of the NBA stars from, you know, current day and then years past coming together to talk about Kobe and how he kind of transcended basketball for a lot of people all across the world, really drove home just how influential a sports figure can be to individual communities, to groups of people, to an entire sport. And the world is much worse off without Kobe and his daughter in it and everybody else on that plane.
Absolutely. Life is precious. We never enjoy seeing, you know, anyone with an injury or anyone lose their life. It's, you know, we want high quality and just we love life here at Rose Sports Talk. That's for sure. The next one is probably the event that I will end up never forgetting. I put down March 11th, the shutdown begins. Never have I seen a podcast wasted as the one we did the day before that.
You know, it's funny. Like, I remember going back and you and I were kind of rattling off, like, when do we talk about, you know, some of the things that are potentially upcoming? You know, do we wait until stuff starts getting, you know, getting canceled? Do we, like, what do we do? And we just say, you know, let's just go ahead and operate as normal. Let's do this, you know, March Madness preview, and let's do, and of course, shutdown happens. NBA kind of kicks everything off, and it just cascades from there.
So I know I was already starting to work from home that week, and I was at my computer and I saw the headlines coming in just throughout the day. NCAA tournament is going to happen without fans. I was like, that really stinks. And then it's like, these other conference tournaments are going to go with no fans. NBA is canceling the season. And like everyone, like I think if you could remember what Mark Cuban's face was when he was like looking at his phone courtside and they caught him. And he's like, oh, like, I think he went to Rick Carlisle and was like, play the starters a little bit more tonight. That game wasn't over yet. Which by all means, they definitely didn't play for significant time after that.
No.
Just by far one of the biggest, strangest things that has ever happened in sports world in my time. I mean,
nothing like that's ever going to happen again.
I mean,
right. That is just the way that everything transpired, from the NBA coming out and basically pretty much mid game saying, oh, we're done. And then all of these conference tournaments getting canceled and just like, well, who's actually going to play? And, you know, it's always the conferences that at least now you would have expected are going to try to push for it. Then they're canceling and then the entire tournament gets canceled. And then people are like, oh God, what are going to happen to these sports that are upcoming? Right? What, everything was just so crazy up in the air. And it took one Utah player that went in and ruined it for everyone. Right.
Yeah. That's why. After he touched all the mics and recorders of all of the people just a couple days before.
That should have been our moment. It's part of our moment. It's part of our moment.
It's attached. The next moment is probably one of the most sports crazed moments of the year. The 2020 NFL draft. I think everyone was like, the draft's coming. Like, I've never seen people as like into the draft as it was that night. Like, people were like, what's going on? Let's check out the draft. Because by gosh, I've streamed all of Love is Blind and Tiger King.
I got something. Give me sports.
I need something sports.
We got to see Bill Belichick's dog. Right? I mean, that's highlighted in and of itself.
I was torn between highlighting Bill Belichick's dog or Vrabel's kids being weird on the TV.
It's the only time I think I've ever like seen Roger Goodell look like a human. Like, he normally, whenever you hear him talk, or it's everything feels very artificial, but it almost felt like in this environment he was able to like relax a bit, and it was different to see.
Absolutely. The final one that I have is probably just one of my personal moments, because I'm a big golf fan, and I feel like it was kind of the, hey, sports are back kind of moment to me as well. It was at the 2020 PGA Championship. So it was the first major after the pandemic. And this kid, Colin Morikawa, pulls up to the par 4, 16th. The grass is super high in the rough, like 6 to 8 inches of rough. Like, if you hit it in the rough, you're dead. And what does he do on this short par 4? He puts it within 7 feet of the hole.
Yeah, it's a crazy shot.
Like, I saw that shot and where it went, and I went, Colin Morikawa has won a major. Like, it was just a lock after that. He was already ahead. Young guy with no lack of confidence. And that tee shot was kind of a, man, this feels so good to have sports and competition back. Thank you, Colin, for kind of symbolizing that for me, and also for being really good at golf, because that's fun. Well, goodbye 2020.
2020.
I don't necessarily want to say you will be missed. You will be remembered, but we are glad to start something different.
You will not be forgotten. That is for sure.
If I had to say a sentiment, it might be something like "Goodbye, Earl." Goodbye. It's time to see you go.
Certainly no bye-bye, little Sebastian. That's for certain.
No. So here are some predictions that Sean and I came up with for 2021. Most of them are NFL related, but we got into different sports one in there. We do call ourselves Brody Sports Talk, so we get to throw random other sports in occasionally.
Hopefully like our bowling prediction.
Yes. Oh, wait, I must have left that one off of my list, so I don't have that one here. My first prediction is that the Chiefs are going to win back-to-back Super Bowls. They've been so good. I don't think people realize how good their defense has been this year. I know that they've been winning a lot of close contests. They're 14-1. Everyone thinks of them as just this offensive juggernaut, which they have a great offense. I think Reed and Bieniemy call a good offense, but their offense hasn't been their end-all be-all this year. They've had to rely more on that defense as well.
And you don't win close games by having a good offense. You win close games by having a sound defense.
So, you know, I look at points scored and points allowed and all of that stuff all the time. The Chiefs are second in point differential, but part of that is that they are eighth, I believe, in points allowed. Like, they're better than the Giants at not giving up points. Like, everyone talking about the Giants and their defensive coordinator as like a hot head coaching candidate. The Chiefs are giving up less points. Like, no one sits there and goes, fewer. Man, wouldn't be 2020 without me messing that up another time. Spoiler alert, that'll probably keep happening in 2021. Like, no one thinks of the Chiefs as being a defensive team.
No.
But Honey Badger, Frank Clark, they have a solid defense, and I don't see, with this muddled mess of AFC wildcard teams and the Steelers are a division winner, like, I don't see anyone that I'm like, they're going to really, like, maybe the Bills are going to threaten the Chiefs, but I'm not. I think the Chiefs are by far the favorite, and I think that they will take it home. Second.
Sorry, Aaron Rodgers.
Sorry. The second one that I have is that this is a off-season move. So we're talking March-ish, probably. But I have Sam Darnold getting traded to the Washington football team. I'm going to say for a second rounder. Rosen went for what, like a third or a fourth rounder? So Darnold is better.
What a great move.
Darnold is better. We all know the Jets need more talent and help everywhere. And I don't think that anyone really doubts that they're going to take Justin Fields at two. You know, you're going to have a new coach. He's going to want a guy that's different. Ron Rivera is not necessarily the best quarterback coach, but they need someone. Everything that has happened with them at quarterback this year has been ridiculous. Whether it's Dwayne Haskins being Dwayne Haskins, whether it's Kyle Allen, who is not that good starting several games, you know, Alex Smith coming back and actually being able to play, and then like Taylor, I'm going to mess up this last name, Heineke, that literally they signed a few days ago because they weren't sure if Alex Smith was going to be able to play, and they didn't make him active. So I think that they're a little bit desperate, so they're going to be willing to pony up that higher pick, and they're going to have a quarterback for 2021 that they actually can believe in.
I think that's going to depend on whether or not they make the playoffs this year. I feel like if they miss the playoffs, then we may see a different move made. But if they make the playoffs, I actually feel like Darnold could very well potentially land there.
The next one is going to be our non-NFL one, and I'm going to go ahead and pass the mic to Sean to go ahead and introduce and explain this one.
All right, so my spicy prediction for 2021 is that LeBron James misses the NBA Finals. Now, I'm sure you're asking, what does he mean that the Lakers aren't going to make the playoffs? Or not make the playoffs, sorry, make the finals? Or does he mean that LeBron's going to be injured? The answer is yes. So what I think is going to happen is I think LeBron is going to end up injured during said NBA playoffs. And because of that, they will not end up making the finals. And instead, a team such as the Nuggets, the Clippers, or my personal preference, the Dallas Mavericks, will end up making the finals from the West. Any teams I left out of that list that could potentially make it? I don't feel like there are any of them that I think are really threatening.
What are your thoughts about like the Blazers?
Oh God, I forgot about them. And I'm sure that, you know, people looking back on 2021 will probably forget about them too.
Burn. Next, this one is also one of Sean's. I think that it's personally quite enjoyable as well. He has...
Promise I'm not calling you guys out, okay? I didn't do this on purpose.
He says that Trevor Lawrence, future Jaguar, most likely, will not win Rookie of the Year.
So when you look at like Offensive Rookie of the Year, if you look at Rookie of the Year just like in general, it almost never goes to the player that you expect preseason. There's always an injury. There's always at least one player who ends up exceeding expectations. I mean, I think you can point to like Justin Jefferson this year as somebody who has massively exceeded expectation. It's unfair to say that Joe Burrow didn't live up to it because he very well did. Obviously, injuries kind of kept that from happening. You could, you know, look at Tua as somebody who may not have been able to do everything that, you know, you were expecting. And then, of course, I think the running backs were obviously some disappointments. But, you know, Trevor Lawrence, he's been hyped everywhere that he goes, from high school to college and now heading into the NFL. I think there are going to be some growing pains. The Jags are an attractive job, but that roster needs a lot of help. And I don't know if Lawrence is going to be able to outshine somebody who may be stepping into a better situation next season.
That's fair. Also, given how the Jags played this year, I don't know if you're going to have a healthy Trevor Lawrence for 16 games.
Yeah.
So I think that will make a big impact as well. The last prediction that we have is that I have said the Texans will earn the top pick of the 2022 draft before the end of 2021. Somewhat of a little bit delayed in out of 21 prediction, but man, the Texans are bad. I feel bad for that organization and for fans of that team right now. They have Deshaun Watson. They have J.J. Watt. Unfortunately, I don't see that adding up to a lot of wins, and they don't have a whole lot of cap or rookies to be able to go get.
To be fair, I think they have a decent receiving core.
They have an aging and slightly injury-prone receiving core, and Will Fuller's a free agent.
I didn't realize that Fuller was his contract was on.
So they have Cooks and Cobb. Yeah.
They're not bad. They got me some fantasy points this season. They're fine in my book.
I'm not saying that they are. Well, and they also have one of the worst rushing attacks in the NFL.
Yeah. All the more reason to throw to those guys.
And that's why you've scored points, not because the Texans are winning games. So, this is the last episode here in 2020. And I just want to thank Sean for coming and joining the podcast and being along for the ride.
Didn't I join in 2018, though? I thought so. right?
The first one that you were, well, so you guest hosted a little bit at the end of 2019, but you came on full-time.
Okay.
Full-time, whatever that means.
I mean, sorry, yeah, 2019. Yeah, that's for me something. I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, man, I could have swore that I was on the show like in December. This is like 1 year for me.
I think you made your presence felt the biggest on like our 25th episode when we had the best athlete bracket, which is such a throwback to even think about.
that is trash. Totally forgotten about that. The deep run by American Pharoah. how tennis
totally took over everything.
You're welcome.
It's all good. But I just want to say I appreciate you being with me, man. It's been a lot of fun. It's definitely helped me keep my sanity in what has been a crazy year.
It has.
For those of you who are listening, if you want to interact with us, feel free to follow us on Twitter at Brody Talk. We love getting tweets and messages sent to us there. We also appreciate if you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, so that way you're always updated of our latest episodes, which come out every week on Wednesday. Make sure also to give us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts, because that way more people can find us and enjoy the kind of random, eccentric brand of humor and sports that Sean and I bring to the table.
We try
every week.
Do our best.
Expect pop culture references, expect soccer references that you may or may not get.
Expect the unexpected.
And we're coming up to the playoffs. And so, you know, you don't want to miss any playoff episodes that are going to be coming up in the next few weeks. So
next week's our official final regular season power rankings and the kickoff of our official NFL playoff rankings, which we will do once. And then it's all gone.
It is sad. But I'm sure we'll have other great content for you, that we always try to come up with the best stuff for you guys. So again, my name's Caleb. He's Sean. I do want to thank you for listening to us here in 2020, and we look forward to bigger and better things with you in 2021.
Have a good year, guys.